Thank the Lord for a wonderful table. We wanted to continue this morning to have a little more fellowship on this matter of material offerings. And I hope that you all have been reading this book, Material Offerings and the Lord's Move Today. If you don't yet have this book, you can pick it up at the book table here in the corner. But this book is a classic, and it's very critical to our Christian experience. And we want to look at a few verses this morning, starting with Matthew 6:24. If you have your Bible, you can read along with me. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. It's interesting in this verse that the Lord indicates there are only two possible masters. Of course, God is the proper master, but he didn't say you cannot serve God and the devil. He didn't say you cannot serve God and Confucius. He said you cannot serve God and mammon, indicating that mammon is the only real idol other than, well, he's the only real master other than God, and the only true idol. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul gives a basic principle which can be applied to this matter, where he's talking about what things are lawful and what things are not lawful. And he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. This is a basic principle in our Christian life, that we should not be brought under the power of anything. Amen. Especially money. Amen. The way we break the power of mammon is by offering our money to the Lord's interests. So in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, on the first day of the week, each one of you should lay aside and store to himself whatever he may have been prospered, that no collections be made when I come. In other words, he's saying don't wait to see if you have money left over that you can give to the Lord, and don't wait until there's a major need mentioned in order to give our money. Our offering, our material possessions, should be a weekly experience, a weekly practice. Before we pay our bills, before payroll deductions are taken, we need to offer what we have to the Lord. Amen. For his interests. I know a brother that when he just graduated from college, I mentioned this to some of you before, he was offered two jobs. One job was very lucrative. It was right up his area of education, and he would have loved to take that job. He would have made a lot of money, but he realized that it would have drained his energy, that he wouldn't have energy remaining for the church life and for God's interests. So he took the other job, which was less well-paying, but he had peace. This is how he broke the power of mammon in his experience. Amen. By refusing to be under the power of money. I'm afraid many of young brothers today may be tempted to take a job just because it's the highest paid, or to move to a locality just for a high-paying job, rather than opening to the Lord and looking to the Lord that our life and our time would be invested in what's best for God's purpose. Amen. So we really need to open these matters to the Lord. Another verse I want to mention is Luke 16, chapter 16, verse 9. Here the Lord said, make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacles. The footnote on this verse indicates that to make friends means to use mammon, use money for the Lord's interests. Notice that mammon here is called mammon of unrighteousness. That's because today mammon is unrighteous in position and it's unrighteous in existence. Mammon is temporary. Mammon will not survive into the next age. In the next age, there will be no money. So, in this age, we have the opportunity to use mammon. We can, even though it's unrighteous, we can use the mammon of unrighteousness for God's interests. In the next age, we won't have this opportunity. This is a temporary enjoyment that we have in this life, that we can use the mammon of unrighteousness for God's purpose. Just give a couple of examples. Many of you know that in 1970, the whole church in Yorba Linda migrated to Seattle. The saints that were in Yorba Linda had good jobs, they had friends, they had families there. But the Lord moved within them to abandon everything there and move to Seattle, which had the highest unemployment rate in the whole nation. The Boeing company had lost a huge contract and they were laying off thousands of employees every week, not every month, every week. And yet those saints were willing to risk moving to the worst place in the country, not to get a better job, but for the Lord's interest and the Lord's purpose. And as a result, the Lord blessed them. They all got jobs, and they all flourished, humanly speaking, because they had moved to Seattle not for themselves, but for God's purpose. One other personal experience I'll share. Some years ago, my brother was having some kind of celebration. I think it was his birthday or something. I don't remember. And I felt before the Lord that I should go. He was in California. I was up here. But I didn't have enough money to buy a plane ticket. But in faith, I bought the ticket anyway. Then my wife was at her job and had parked her car outside. And while she was at work, someone took a rock and threw it through the window of her car, because inside the car was her book bag, which looked to the uneducated eye like it was a laptop. So they took a rock, threw it through the window, took her book bag out, opened it up, realized it was just a bunch of Bibles and hymnals, and they threw it in the weeds. So she was able to recover it. So we took the car into the insurance company, and the adjuster looked it all over. Of course, the window was broken, but he also inspected the roof, because apparently the thief had thrown the rock up through the window like this, and it hit the ceiling of the car. And you could barely see a little dimple in the roof of the car, which didn't make any difference at all to us. It didn't flake the paint, it didn't break the paint or anything. But the adjuster was very strict and very careful, and he gave us enough money to fix the roof of the car, even though we didn't care about the roof. The amount of money that was required to fix the roof was the exact amount of the ticket that I had purchased to go and visit my brother. This is just a testimony to me of the Lord's faithfulness. If we're faithful to follow the Lord and offer our material possessions for His interest, The Lord is faithful to meet all of our needs.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.